is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Take that, Packer fans. Steamroller it right over the top of you. Out. See ya. And if Jay Cutler doesn't get hurt in the 2011 title game, Aaron Rodgers has never played in the Super Bowl. Take that. Packers are gone. This is only one, right? It's the only one he ever won.
That's what you're opening up with?
Right there. Love it. Love it.
Would you rather lose 37-20 in the NFC title game or not qualify for the playoffs?
I'd rather get to the title game, but it doesn't really matter. They're out. They're not in the Super Bowl. This guy, as good as he is, has played in one. And the only one, period, was because Jay Cutler went down or the Bears win at home. He struggled and won by 7 over Caleb freaking Haney.
Okay, and then he went to the Super Bowl and won.
And he did.
All right.
But he shouldn't have ever gotten there. He'd be Philip Rivers, as one of our great tweeters said. He'd be Philip Rivers. Never in it. Anyway. Packers are trending in the wrong direction because they ran into a steamroller by the name of the San Francisco 49ers. Raheem Mostert, a former Bear, like four teams cut him, ran for 220. And the San Francisco 49ers will take on the team that I hope wins, the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it'd be really cool to see Andy Reid win a Super Bowl, cement his legacy, and the best quarterback for the next 10 years in Patrick Mahomes, a generational talent, put on a show down in Miami. Welcome into Cap and Company. He's Pat Boyle. I'm David Kaplan. Danny Zetterman and Chris Bleck are in their rightful spots. And our phone lines are open at 312-332-3776. What was your favorite part of the weekend's football action?
My favorite part, I guess, would be, you know, just seeing San Francisco take care of Green Bay and do it in a humbling fashion.
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely ran it down the Packers' throat.
Didn't he? Garoppolo completed six passes.
Six passes, only threw it eight times. My question to you is this. Would Matt Nagy ever show the restraint and discipline to only throw the football eight times if that's what it took to win a game?
I don't know. I can't answer that. And the answer should be easy, that any coach.
Right.
It's like they asked Kyle Shanahan, coach, you know, you have this offensive background and you only threw the ball eight times. Why? He said, because running the ball was working. It was working. I agree with you.
I have my doubts that he would have the restraint to do that.
One set of plays, they were moving down the field, they ran it nine consecutive times. And not every one was a big game. Just keep pounding them, guys.
Cap, since he threw the interception last week, they have thrown the ball a total of like 17 times in two games. It's incredible. I don't know if you can get into a track meet in the Super Bowl with the Chiefs the way they can put up points and just hand it off to Raheem Mostert and expect him to carry you to the promised land. But he certainly looked like he was unstoppable. I mean, Cap, he was getting to the second level untouched almost every time.
Unbelievable. And again, he had amazing blocking. Amazing. Yeah. And you got to tip your cap to what John Lynch has been able to put together on that offensive line. The defensive front seven is sensational. The bottom line is Raheem Mostert also made a lot of great runs. All of it put together. They're playing in the Super Bowl. The Packers are not. And the Chiefs were just the better team than the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee hung in there gamely, but the Chiefs were the better team, clearly.
Raheem Mostert is on his seventh NFL team.
His seventh.
Including a stop with the Bears in 2016.
Right, and that also cements what Carmen and Yurko always say. You can find good running backs. You don't waste a first-round pick. Look, Derrick Henry's a great football player. And I think he was, you know, like in the 40s he was picked. And he's deserving of it, and he's a great player. But if you've got an amazing offensive line, you can stop the run, you can defend, pressure the quarterback, and you can run the football like they can, man, they can win. They absolutely can win. Now, I think the Chiefs will win, but I think it's going to be a hell of a Super Bowl. Did you see the opening line?
Yeah, just KC minus one?
1.5, yeah.
1.5.
Yep, total of 52.
Are they going to spot San Francisco 10 points just to make, you know, just to keep that trend going? Spot them 17, get everybody in a tizzy, and then
bam,
put the throttle down?
So
the hammer down?
So I would absolutely hope that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace said, let's watch this game together. Let's see what we could take away from this. Okay. We are never going to have Patrick Mahomes, even if Mitch is better. We're never going to have that guy. Okay, that's on us. That's on me, Matt. I effed that up. I foobarred that situation. But we can go fix our offensive line, and we can make sure we can run the football. We'll add to the running back room so it's not all on David Montgomery. I don't ever want to see Tariq Cohen running between the tackles. Use him more out as a receiver in space, as a gadget guy, as Yerk likes to call him. Let's go get you a tight end. Like yesterday, Akeem Hicks tweeted a picture of the, like, a high shot of the field. And he said, he put a graphic over it, said, can you imagine if this was Soldier Field? Place would be lit. And then someone said, how loud would it be? He goes, 20 times louder in Chicago. And Eric Ebron, a free agent tight end, favorited that tweet and then tweeted back at him. So I don't know if Eric Ebron's coming here. I don't know if they're going to go get Hunter Henry, if they're going to go get, you know, somebody else. All I'm telling you is they have the ability with the right maneuvers to make this team far more competitive. But as you astutely said at the start, Matt has to be willing to do it. I don't care if they didn't bring you here to run the I formation. If that's what's working, use it.
Well, use your players to the best of their ability. I think Kyle Shanahan is running out of a power eye at times and has this power run game going because that's the way they built the team.
Correct.
That's the way John Lynch has orchestrated his roster. Like, I looked at of the four teams that were remaining, I thought the Bears are closest to Tennessee. Only in the Ryan Tannehill's not an elite quarterback. Mitchell Trubisky, not an elite quarterback. Now, Tennessee has a far better rushing game with Derrick Henry and a better offensive line. But I thought, like, if you're trying to find a blueprint of a team that is succeeding, that got to, in this case, the AFC title game with not an elite quarterback, how did they do it? And can we mimic that in a certain way?
Mm-hmm.
But then I watched Tennessee yesterday, and they got off to a great start.
They did.
And they're so well coached. Kansas City is committing false starts and offsides, and they're shooting themselves in the foot. And I'm like, but you know what? KC is figuring things out. The adjustments that Reed and the Chiefs make after that first quarter, incredible. But I just thought that the Bears were closest to Tennessee, and in the end, Tennessee's far from competing with Kansas City.
No question.
So, you know, why don't necessarily follow that lead. You need to be able to throw at times, especially when you get down multiple scores. You can't just hand the ball to Derrick Henry and assume you're going to get back into a game.
So if you're Tennessee, are you giving a big contract to Ryan Tannehill?
I think you have to.
Or do you just tag him? Show me another year, kid.
Be an interesting idea. I think he's going to command
a lot.
North of $100 million.
Yeah, a lot. And I'm not sure if I was Tennessee that I'd be willing to do that yet. Prove it for another year. Maybe we could talk.
They were saying on Golic and Wingo this morning that obviously aside from Tom Brady, Ryan Tannehill is going to get the biggest quarterback contract this offseason, bigger than Teddy Bridgewater.
Interesting. 312-332-3776. We're going to England. That's right. George, what's up, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. What a game to watch as a Bears fan. I wasn't cheering and laughing too much. No, but it just goes to show you, doesn't it? When you've got an offensive line that knows what they're blocking, how they know they're blocking it the right way, you can have an average quarterback, which is Jimmy Garoppolo, run, you know, have him pass 8 attempts, whereas the Bears against the Packers, attempted 9 runs in total. So that's the difference. I mean, Nagy has shown it time and time again, particularly against the Packers. If it doesn't work the very first time he attempts it, he just goes away from it. Whereas the pass cannot work time after time after time, and he'll stick with it. So, yeah, I'm hoping he learns from it. But the 49ers have got 2 first-round tackles. The Titans both have 2 first-round tackles in terms of their bookends. And I think that's the difference in what you're seeing on the offensive line play between the Titans, the 49ers, and the Bears. We've got a 7th-round pick and an undrafted free agent at tackle.
Well, look, they've got 2 second-round picks that they can use. And, George, have a great day over there in England. We'll see you in June, man.
Thanks, Georgie.
Love you, guys. Bear down.
Bear down. Just bought my flights to England. So, for the Cubs and the Cardinals. The second-round picks, you got to take best athlete available. I mean, they're going to need a corner. They obviously need O-line help. They obviously need tight end help. They need another wide receiver. You just take the best guy on the board. But they also have to move some money so that they, whether that's Mukamara, whether that is
Trevathan,
Ben Broniger. Like the way I went to Leonard Floyd's 13 point something, I put all that together. They can get themselves high 30 million range in cap space, but it's going to leave them a lot of work to do in the offseason. We'll see. 312-332-3776. Look, we've got a lot to get to about this weekend's football, but Lewis Riddick on Waddle and Sylvie Friday had some really strong words for the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky. You'll hear those words, and we'll get your thoughts on that next. It's ESPN 1000.
It's Cap and Co. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, Packers are out. Take that. Love it. Thrilled. One of my 3 teams I cheer against openly is gone. Not in the Super Bowl. You've got the best 2 teams meeting. Patrick Mahomes and the Red Hot Chiefs and the ground and pound and awesome defense of the San Francisco 49ers. Should be fun. Chiefs, according to the Caesars line, brought to you by the book at Horseshoe Hammond. Chiefs -1.5. Total is 52. And the Philly Godfather's already tweeted out a play on the under. Get it now, he said, before it goes down. A play on the under. 312-332-3776. So Lewis Riddick was on the Waddle and Sylvie show. And he was asked about what will Matt Nagy's offensive system be in 2020. Now, keep in mind, he and Matt are very, very close. So he comes from a position of knowledge about what the Bears are thinking. Here's Lewis Riddick on Waddle and Sylvie on Friday.
He will still want to, I believe, throw the football. I think philosophically, like even the teams that have that right now that are left in the playoffs, that have a high play call percentage as far tilted towards the run, they still are teams that would prefer to throw the ball to get the lead, run the ball to protect the lead, and run out the game. And that's where the big rushing yardage comes from. When you look at a guy like a team like Tennessee, when they beat the Ravens, all 3 of they jumped out to a 21-point lead on 3 touchdown passes. They gashed Baltimore through the air with big plays first and then just unleashed the juggernaut on them, and then he just put them away. Okay, that's what he would like to do. Now, right. Are they going to be able to run the downfield passing attack like a Tennessee does, even though they're pretty much considered a run-heavy team? Is Mitch Trubisky that kind of thrower? No, he hasn't shown that to this point. Is he the kind of team that, even like the Green Bay Packers, okay, under Mike McCarthy and now under Matt LaFleur, where they like to really feature Aaron Jones but still take shots, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers. They can do anything they want with Aaron Rodgers. Can he execute that kind of passing game? No, but I still think they're going to be a team that's going to want to take its shots, want to distribute the football all around the field, and really run the football once you have a lead and you're able to just pile up yardage, because then you're trying to just – you're not necessarily trying to, like, take air out of the clock or air out of the football, but just because that, at that point in time, that's just the most prudent way to win football games. Right. It's hard to win in this league when you're just 3 yards in a cloud of dust, throw it on 3rd down, run, run, pass. Unless you have the 85 Bears defense, you're probably going to lose a lot of football games that way. You're going to have to throw it some even if you are a Tennessee Titan type of team. You just are. So he's really what he's trying to do, Tommy. I mean, you know this. He's trying to find a way to be efficient with throwing the football so teams don't just load up on you and absolutely just choke off your run game and dare you to throw it. He wants to throw it because they can throw it. And if Mitch can't get that done, they're going to have to get a new quarterback. It's as simple as that. You cannot sit here and make a million changes and put it on everyone else as far as coaches, head coaches, quarterback coaches, systems, when maybe you just don't have a quarterback that can do it. And I hate saying that because, again, just for everybody who says that I'm trying to, you know, that what happened to your boy Mitch? How come he didn't do so good? Blah, blah. Maybe he's not the guy.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong on the guy. I believe they should move on and look for a different option, that they should be actively looking for another option. We'll see.
Wow. So you would completely – you're not talking about bringing in a guy to compete. If
Let me clarify that. I would definitely be looking for a guy to compete this year.
Who would that be?
And I'm being honest with you, I would be looking and hoping that the person that I bring in to compete was either a 2 to 3 year bridge option until I can find another young one, or hopefully he's young enough to where he's a 4, 5, 6 plus year option. Because I just, my instinct tells me, unless Mitch makes some kind of dramatic change in terms of his level of consistency, not the spotty consistency, but real consistency, meaning I don't have 49% completion percentage, 50% completion percentage, and 6 or 5 yards per attempt one game, and then have 75% completion percentage and 9 yards per attempt the next game, and I'm all over the place like a amusement park roller coaster. I'm not looking for that guy. He's already shown that he can be that guy. That guy gets you 7-9, 8-8, 9-7,
right,
and fighting for a wild card spot, and eventually gets you replaced as a coach. That's not what we want.
Interesting. So he definitely wants to bring in not a defined Case Keenum backup, but more at least like an Andy Dalton, that type of guy that comes in and competes head-to-head with Mitch, and in his perfect world, unless Mitch makes dramatic progress, beats him out.
And I thought you jumped off Mitch's bandwagon quickly and broke some ankles. He went from Maserati Mitch to...
Right.
He doesn't even want him around. Here's why I'm encouraged by Lewis Riddick's comments. Because there were times, and he'd be on Waddle and Sylvie's show.
Mm-hmm.
And boys, correct me if you think I'm off base here. I felt like before the hit with those guys, it was almost like he had had a phone call with Matt Nagy. And some of the things he was saying were exactly what was going on at Hallis Hall, or at least the belief inside the building. So when he makes this abrupt turn and pivots and says, look, he's not the guy actively looking for somebody else, that makes me think
that they are.
That inside those four walls, Matt is leaning to that and has told his friend Lewis Riddick that. And Lewis is kind of priming the fan base a little bit and kind of getting the message out there.
I don't disagree. Now,
Pat, maybe not just for the fan base, maybe for the guy making the decisions at House Hall too. You know what I mean? Like,
Ryan Pace isn't necessarily in lockstep here. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that could be a possibility, right?
Right.
We can't just automatically rule that out. It's his quarterback, right? He's selected that quarterback. Maybe Lewis Riddick is floating these ideas to get it out in the media, get it to the fan base, so then there is pressure on the GM.
Somebody I trust up there said Matt and Ryan are more in lockstep now than ever before. And that Ryan absolutely is going to look to upgrade the room, 100%. He said, don't believe everything you hear at the season-ending press conference.
No.
Watch their actions.
Watch their actions. No, yeah. No question about
now,
it.
Now, that leads to, and again, it's a long shot, but it would be seismic change in Chicago sports if Tom Brady hits the market and even entertains talking to the Bears, let alone comes here. This is Brady over the weekend.
I'm open-minded about the process. And, you know, at the same time, I love playing football and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms.
So he is going to listen to teams. And unless New England walks in and says, And Rob Ninkovich was on this show on Friday. And Rob Ninkovich said, because my response to him was, Rob, his wife is worth $1 billion. He's made whatever. I mean, hundreds of millions. He goes, that means zero to him. He wants to be paid what he thinks he's worth as a quarterback. Not, well, we've got $1.5 billion in the bank, so I could take a cheap deal so we could sign. No. He said that's not why he does this. He wants to be paid what Tom Brady's worth. So my message to Ryan Pace would be, you may not get him. He may go to Miami. He may go to Vegas. He may go to San Diego or L.A. Chargers. You call up his agent and you go, you tell me what it's going to take. I'll move heaven and earth. You tell me. I'll redesign the offense. He can fly out here and tell Matt exactly how he wants to run things. I will get him a tight end. I will get him offensive line help. And you tell me how much money I have to clear to get him here. Whatever it takes, Tom, all in. It would be seismic.
Can you imagine okay, Cap,
having
Cap,
the GOAT, Michael Jordan, and the GOAT, Tom Brady, in our town.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Pump the brakes. First of all, I do believe Tom Brady's moving on.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that more now than ever.
Mm-hmm, agreed.
It started back in September when Adam Schefter, who we'll talk to later on today, first said that, look, don't be surprised if this is Tom's last year. He's going to be a free agent, and he wants to explore free agency, and he would be looking for another stop. And everything that's kind of happened since is certainly supporting that claim that, you know, Tom is maybe ready to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, coming to what you keep saying, what's it going to take? It's going to take $35 million a year.
Done.
Okay, so it's going to take a $70 million commitment if he wants to play two more years. Mm-hmm. Probably, you know, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got all these other problems. You got the no tight end. You've got the O-line. How are you going to do it all when you would just have to cut loose players to make Tom fit on your roster? How are you going to fill all the other holes on this roster if you go out and get him?
That's Ryan's job, not mine.
Well, I mean, it's like you're Leonard playing Floyd. GM to a certain degree, and then you're stopping, you know, you're like, all right, the quarterback.
Great franchises find a way to make it happen.
Well, that's what we did with Khalil Mack.
Correct.
Okay, so we found that way. And it also handcuffs you in your ability to do some other things.
Leonard Floyd, $13 million. See ya. Prince Amukamara, $9 million. See ya. And
you're getting all that just to get Tom. Then you've cleared space to get Tom with all those moves you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I still don't have a tight end. I still don't have a number two receiver. I still don't have assets on the offensive line. I may have a question at corner. I may have a question at linebacker if Trevathan's moving on. I may have a question at safety. I mean, Cap, those are, you know, you open the show by saying, like, take that Green Bay. They're still closer to being a Super Bowl team than the Bears are today.
Well, they just played in the title game. That's not a revelation.
Let me jump in here.
I'm not convinced they're getting back to that level.
Is Tom Brady even the best option?
I don't think so.
All available options at quarterback to upgrade the position, is Brady the best option?
Yes.
And take into consideration the money. Take everything that would
take it in, yes.
Orlovsky said he went back and broke down all his games, and we'll talk to Dan tomorrow. He broke down all the game tape. He said, look, he's not the guy he was at 25. He said, but I'm just telling you, there hasn't been much of a drop-off. That guy's still really freaking good. So, and if you sign him, Mitch is gone, because I'm getting that money off the books, too. See you later. Thanks. I'll go get Case Keenum to back up Brady. I'll get the cheapest option, who's a decent player in case my guy goes down. But, yeah.
Wouldn't Trubisky for this season be cheaper than Case Keenum on the open market?
Oh, I would doubt that. How much is Trubisky?
I mean, Keenum could maybe start for teams.
Yeah, I mean,
you already have Trubisky.
Correct, but if you were to cut Mitchell Trubisky, I don't know if you save any money in terms of, yeah, Mitchell Trubisky, is his dead cap would be the same as his salary, so it's really not a saving. So you could hang on to him as your backup. You could for one more year and let him learn from the GOAT. But so I'm just telling you, man, if he's available, yes, you do it. You move heaven and earth, whatever it takes. Got to take a fast time out. We'll come right back. This is ESPN 1000.
This is Cap and Company.
Weekdays, 9 to noon.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Chicago's home for sports rolls on. It's Pat Boyle and David Kaplan, 312-332-3776.
Hey now.
Hey now. Let's go back to the phones and Jeff's in Skokie, where I grew up. Hey, Jeff, what's up, man?
Yeah, hey, guys. I heard you saying, you know, all the things about how the, you know, the 49ers and how they can win it because, you know, they're great up front. You know, win the Super Bowl. They're great up front, both sides of the ball, yada yada. But compared to the Bears, we need to be rooting. Bears fans need to be rooting their hearts out for the Chiefs, because for the sole purpose.
I want the Chiefs, please. Yeah, I want them.
It's more of the 49ers winning the Super Bowl is going to continue to give Ryan Pace false hope that he can gloss over our most glaring weakness, and that is quarterback. Quarterback. And my guy, Danny Parkins, over this score, I think won Twitter last night with his tweet of the year yesterday.
Yeah, okay.
When he said that.
Yeah, we don't need to discuss his tweets. What's your thought?
No, I get it. It's so relatable because the Titans can win the Super Bowl with how they're built. The 49ers can win the Super Bowl with how they're built. The Chiefs can be a dynasty because they have a quarterback who can get them to that point of the year every single year. That is what the Bears – I mean, you can say what you want about the Packers. The Packers, Aaron Rodgers, he only got one title. He's been to four conference championships. I would die – for the Bears to be in four conference championships in an 11-year span. I would die. And I want to end my point with this. We are witnessing right now, it's going to ultimately cost Ryan Pace his job. This time next year, he passed on what we are witnessing as right now the greatest quarterback to ever play. You know, the Chiefs have not scored fewer than 23 points in any start that Pat Mahomes has made in his career.
Look, he's amazing, and it will be a generational gaffe that Ryan Pace made by not taking him. That's what I said to my brother yesterday. I appreciate your call, man. I said to my brother yesterday, can you believe that guy was on the board at number 10? Like, if you said, okay, the team at 1 had a quarterback and he slipped to 2 or 3. Okay. He was there on the board at 10. How can that be? How can people be that off? They get paid a lot of money to do this.
It's hard to watch it. You don't see these players very often. Generational. The fact that you had the pick and you had the ability to select him and you didn't. It's tough to swallow, but the Deshaun Watson is equally as frustrating. I mean, I don't know how you can stomach either.
But to say he's on the board at 10, if you look at the top 10 picks, only one quarterback went before him. Like, I know you're trying to take some of it off the Bears.
But if
like
you're a Hall
nine
of Famer,
other teams missed him.
Right.
But it's not like nine other teams took a quarterback.
Okay, read me the teams in the draft.
Only one other team traded up to take a quarterback. The rest took Myles Garrett went first. Mitch went second. Solomon Thomas went third.
Okay, hold on.
I know. Here you go. You're going to jump on Solomon Thomas.
They did not have a quarterback at that point. Jimmy Garoppolo was not a Niner during that draft. They left a Hall of Fame quarterback on the board. So they obviously didn't think he was all that.
But it seems as if it's worked out for him. They're going to the Super Bowl the same year Patrick Mahomes is.
I'm just saying this is a generational talent.
I know, but when you say something like, I can't believe he went 10th, it makes it sound like two or three other quarterbacks were taken ahead of him. Really, only
one. It doesn't matter if zero were. My point is, we're talking about ESPN just ran across. Is he the greatest quarterback in the history of the sport? Now, he may not be, but maybe he will be. And at 10, he's sitting on the board. The Jets didn't have Sam Darnold till a year later. They had garbage at quarterback. They didn't take him. The Bears missed
him. Well, they took Jamal Adams, who you said Jamal Adams no matter what.
Yeah, he's a great player, but he's not Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, the Chargers are on this list. They had a quarterback. The Panthers are on this list. They had a quarterback. The Bengals are on this list. They had a quarterback.
Yeah. Okay, Andy Dalton.
But back then, Andy Dalton was coming off being a Pro Bowler. I mean, you can't tell
okay,
me.
Okay, who was the next one?
The Browns are on this list. Now, okay. The Browns always should take a quarterback.
Browns did not have Baker Mayfield no. yet. They had two picks in the top five, and they didn't take him.
But Myles Garrett's a pretty damn good player.
Yeah, but he's not
an edge rusher. Everybody says an edge rusher's the second most important position to a quarterback. They chose because looking at the three quarterbacks.
My point is that you had a they're talking about him, even if it's not true, the fact you asked the question, is he the greatest quarterback in the history of the sport? And nine spots went. That's just insane. Insane to me. This guy's unreal. 312-332-3776. Steve in Hickory Hills. Hey, Steve, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, Cap. How you guys doing?
Great, man.
Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
You too.
I'm going to change my topic a little bit here. I'm listening to a couple of the callers. It seems like we just maybe need to blow it up. But more importantly, is Ryan Pace the guy that can do it? I mean, the last caller said he's passed up so many guys who gave up three picks to move up. John Lynch basically owned Ryan Pace in that whole trade, whatever ghost, what a pattern, whatever you want to say it was. And he just, I mean, do we have the confidence in him to keep him around to redo this? Because as much as I hate to say we don't have a running back. We don't have a line.
Yeah, I disagree with you on the running back. Yes, they have to fix the O-line. They are keeping him around. That's number one. So it doesn't matter what we all think. He is going to be around. And blow it up. You have the fourth-ranked defense in the NFL in scoring defense. They're not blowing this thing up. They're going to try and fix it. I can promise you that. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to get it right. I'm just telling you, they're not blowing it up. Appreciate the call. 312-332-3776. You know where they screwed up was letting Fox coach his third year. Because if you knew that at the end of this year we're moving on and we're changing the quarterback room, why didn't you hire Kyle Shanahan then before the 49ers could have grabbed him? It's the same thing with the Cubs, and I said this to someone there the other day, and they looked at me and went, yeah, you're probably right. You knew Joe Maddon wasn't coming back. Why didn't you fire him before last year? You knew.
I said that all along, Cap.
You did?
I mean, everyone's like, it's not a big deal, lame duck year. I did not see that.
You knew you weren't bringing him back. You should have fired him last year. The money's a sunk cost. It's a sunk cost. You had to pay Fox.
It was a wasted year then. If you thought Joe Maddon was holding this team back.
Correct, which they did.
Then you wasted a year.
Same with
John
Fox.
You were ready to move on.
Same with Fox. And even more indicting on the Bears' front is they drafted a young quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, and said, yeah, we'll let you play with Fox for a year. Why? Why would you not go out at that point and go, John, we're making a move. We're going for this young quarterback. I'm getting a quarterback guy.
And why wouldn't you have wanted to bring in an offensive mind to help you make that decision?
Agreed.
Like when Andy Reid and they
enlisted Matt doing all the
and everybody
prep.
Wrote a report on Mahomes, Watson, and Trubisky and spent countless hours with them.
And let me just say another thing. We kept having people come on this station when the Bears were going to hire a coach. It has to be an offensive coach. Heaven forbid, we can't talk to a defensive coach. It has to be an offensive coach because we've got to have a guy who's going to be here to work with the quarterback, because if we get a defensive coach, his coordinator might leave. Yeah, let me know how that worked out for Bill Belichick, who's a defensive coordinator. Pete Carroll, who's a defensive coordinator. Ron Rivera, who lasted 10 years and went to the Super Bowl and has a really good quarterback in Cam Newton in Carolina, and on and on. Get the best damn coach. If he's a special teams coach, that's what Mike Ditka was. He came in here and won a Super Bowl. If it is the best D coordinator, the best offensive mind, just get the best damn coach. Quit trying to fit people into a round peg, a square peg into a round hole.
That's what Tennessee did with Mike Vrabel.
And they
are a well-coached team.
100%. All right, let's go back to the phones. 312-332-3777. In fact, we got to take a fast timeout. We'll come back, get more of your calls. People want to talk. You watch this all weekend long. Did the Bears learn anything? Can the Bears learn anything? And who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? It's Cap and Company at Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Phone lines are hopping here on ESPN 1000. Back to them, and Mike is in Byron, Illinois. Hey, Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, bud. You know, that 2017 draft will look a lot different had Ryan Pace hired Kyle Shanahan, and he wouldn't have got one coach. He would have got two. He would have got his dad.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have got his dad. His dad's not working anymore. His dad's retired. I don't think he would have got his dad, but he would have gotten Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, he would have got Kyle Shanahan, but also the thoughts from his dad. You know, I don't think that draft would have turned out. We're not even talking about Trubisky. We're probably looking at Garoppolo, and then we're probably going to get a running back like Fournette at pick number 3.
Yeah, they weren't taking, appreciate the call. They were not taking a running back that high. They just were not going to. But, yeah, if you were going to draft a young quarterback, why wouldn't you say to John, like in January, hey, man, I'm changing the quarterback room. Appreciate everything. We'll pay your contract. And we are going to go get an offensive-minded coach if that's where your mind was. Or someone else, whoever it was.
Sounds like a lack of a plan to me.
Right. Now, did ownership say, no, we're not eating 2 years of John Fox? Maybe. We hear that all the time. We're not going to pay multiple coaches to not work for us. Okay. Maybe that's the case. Maybe they said...
How much did they just spend to renovate Halas Hall?
$100 million.
Okay. So, 1 year of John Fox?
Well, it would have been two instead of one.
Okay.
It would have been... He made $6 million. It would have been $12 million instead of $6 million. So, again, if you want to run a business, run it the right way. What's the best decision? Is the best decision having Pat Boyle do that? Then go get him. Whatever it costs, within reason, go get him. If Pat Boyle's not the answer, then pay him his money and say, move on, appreciate everything, I'm making a change.
I don't disagree with that.
That's what.
And look at the teams in this town. Look at what Rocky Wirtz has done with the Blackhawks. I mean, they as much as anything, I know there's a salary cap in the NHL, but they spent
to create the
infrastructure.
Limit. Correct.
Scouting. All the different various roles that they've added over the years.
Look, I know Rocky very cursory, very nice man when I see him. I've interviewed him. You know him far better. If Stan Bowman, John McDonough, Jay Blanc walked up to Rocky in a meeting today and said, hey, man, we think this will have a huge effect on our franchise, and it's going to cost, name the amount, $20 million. And they made their case of why it would be great for the organization. Rocky Wirtz would say, get the checkbook out. Let's do it. Done.
No question.
No doubt about it. And it sounds like George is the same way up there. Ryan went to him with a plan, well thought out. Here's what I want to do with the training facility. We need to be the best in the NFL. It'll help us attract better players, keep our guys healthier, better prepared. We'll win more games. So they just opened it. It's $100 million. It's supposedly amazing. I can't wait to get a tour. Amazing. But if you're going to draft a young quarterback, it's flawed from the start. You're drafting a guy with zero experience in college. You believe you can turn him into it. But let's put him in Dow Loggins and John Fox system for a year. Then let's pull that away from him and let's give him a rookie head coach who's never done that and doesn't have a lot of experience as a play caller. And let's put him there. Just flawed from the get-go, man. Flawed from the get-go. 312-332-3776. Eddie's on the north side. Edward, what's up?
Hey, Cap. How you doing?
How you doing, Sparky?
Just from way back when and ESPN, when Andrew Luck got drafted, everybody said he was the next coming thing of God, and he's sitting at home now doing anything. And Mahomes got drafted, and he got lucky in the situation he's in, he's probably, what, got the best tight end in the NFL right now?
I'd say second best. I'd say Travis Kelce second best. I'd take Kittle first, but it would be a close race.
Hill, what about the receiver?
Tyreek Hill's fantastic. Sammy Watkins, fantastic. Also very, very good.
If Mahomes got drafted to the Bears, I don't even think he wins MVP the prior year. What do you think?
He wouldn't be bad. He certainly wouldn't be a bad quarterback. Generational talent. He may not have had 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards in the MVP last year because he's got Kelce and Hill and all those things you talked about. I'm just telling you, he'd be a damn good football player here.
I give him credit for learning to be a pocket passer this year. If you go through all his fantasy stats, they're so weighed down. He's not even in the top 10 in quarterback.
Who cares? Doesn't matter.
I know, but I give him credit that he did that, and he's becoming better and better. I love him. I hope he wins the Super Bowl.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Yeah, see ya. Look, he wouldn't have the weapons here, and he also wouldn't have had a year behind Alex Smith with Andy Reid, who's one of the great quarterback gurus in the history of the sport. So he wouldn't be where he is. He'd still be a damn good football player. Damn good. But they dropped him into the perfect situation. You're not going to play for an entire year. You're going to sit behind Alex Smith, who knows this system inside and out and is a consummate professional. He's going to teach you about being an NFL quarterback in this system and how to carry yourself as a pro. Oh, and by the way, your head coach may be the best quarterback teacher in the history of the sport. So it's a great... And we've got Tyreek Hill, and we got Travis Kelce, and we spend money on the O-line. Yeah, absolutely. Perfect system.
Look, Andy Reid made the tough decision last year of firing his longtime friend Bob Sutton, the defensive coordinator. And, you know, he had to make a tough decision, and he hired Steve Spagnuolo to take over the defense. And there was a drastic change. My question to you is Matt Nagy able to make those tough decisions that Andy Reid did?
He just got rid of the guy they say is the best O-line coach in football, and Harry Heistand, who they're paying a fortune to. And he's under contract. It's not like his deal's up. So they're eating money.
He's also brought in some offensive minds that there's been question marks in their previous stops about commitment to the running game.
Correct.
Which bothers me. Which certainly makes me feel a little uneasy, knowing that that is the Achilles heel of Matt Nagy and the Bears currently.
Yeah. Now, the question is, are those guys that, you know, commitment to running game, whatever, was that because of their situation they were in, or is that their philosophy? It's an interesting question. We'll see. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Rick in Palos Heights. Hey, Rick, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you? What's going on?
I wanted to mention about everybody wants to get rid of Trubisky because he's so bad. I mean, I can't see how you can even evaluate the guy when the offensive line was absolutely horrible. Lazy play, lazy walking around. Guys don't even pay attention to what's going on before the whistle's even blown. I mean, we're trying to evaluate a quarterback and a running back when the offensive line has got, it's like mesh. So, just a comment. I mean, it's not like Mitch is the end all, but I sure would like to see him have a chance with a decent offensive line. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call. 312-332-3776. They got a lot of work to do.
No one's debating that the offensive line needs work. He needs more time. But, look, the problem with Mitchell Trubisky is his accuracy and lack thereof and his inability to throw the deep ball. Every quarterback that we have seen move on in the playoffs has had to make a big play from time to time. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo, they're asking very little from. And it took an epic running performance from Mostert to get them to the Super Bowl. But Mitchell Trubisky, in his time here in Chicago, has struggled throwing the deep ball. He's struggled reading defenses. And 3 years into this thing, it's more than problematic and it's more than worrisome. You've got to think about pivoting and trying to get the franchise back on track a different way. And that's why, you know, we heard certain things from Lewis Riddick. And heard,
no question.
He was his biggest supporter.
He was. Next to me, 312-332-3776. Jesse Rogers recaps the Cubs convention with us next. We're back in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.